Hello and welcome back to the 5 Minute Philosophy Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the paradox of fiction, which is kind of a crossover between philosophy and literature. So the paradox is as follows. So we are only emotionally affected by things we know to exist. We know that characters in literature don't exist, yet we still form emotional attachments to them. So this becomes a paradox because there's a clear contradiction in premises. So we can accept each premise, each part of the argument, individually, that we're only emotionally affected by things we know to exist. We know that characters in literature don't exist and that we still form emotional attachments to them, but we can't accept them altogether. So hence, the paradox of fiction. So from here, we can either figure out whether one of the premises is wrong. Maybe we actually don't form emotional attachments to characters, but are only reacting to, I don't know, seeing ourselves in them, maybe. So, yeah, either one of the premises is wrong, or we just concede that our emotional attachment to literature is irrational, or whatever. This paradox can be really closely compared to Mackey's inconsistent triad, for example, which is an argument against the existence of God. So it's the idea that evil, God's benevolence and God's omniscience cannot all coexist. So in this way, the three premises in the paradox of literature can also be considered part of an inconsistent triad. Let's now have a quick look at how some people have tried to solve this paradox. I suppose in general, the two solutions would be either to say that we don't need to believe something is real to be emotionally affected by it, or that our emotional attachment to fiction isn't actually real, but imagined. So a philosopher who proposed the former, that we don't have to believe something is real to emotionally connect with it, is Eva Sharper, who was a professor of philosophy at Glasgow University and whose work focused a lot on aesthetics. So instead, Sharper argues that we connect with literary figures because of the characteristics we believe them to have. So our emotional attachment comes from our emotional judgment of these characteristics. For example, if I judge Claudius in Hamlet to be two-faced or evil, then because I already dislike those characteristics, my disapproval is going to be projected onto the character himself, hence my emotional attachment to a fictional character. So the other solution that I mentioned would be to argue that our emotional attachment to fiction isn't actually real. We don't actually like or dislike characters. We're not actually scared by, I don't know, horror films, because we know that they don't exist. So I mean, I guess if the book or film's really good, you might forget for a while that it's not real. But I mean, in the long term, we kind of know that it's not real. So those who argue this position are known as pretend theorists, because they support the pretend theory, because kind of we only pretend to be emotionally attached to fiction. The response is only make-believe, you could say. Kendall Walton, for example, calls these responses to fiction quasi-emotions because they're kind of like real emotions, but not completely. These quasi-emotions arise not because of belief in something to be true, which is the cause of real emotions, but because of the belief in something that is the case in some work of fiction. So in this way, Walton breaks apart the experiences of real life and of fiction, and I guess solves, if you agree with him, the paradox by creating a new category of emotion. Now, some people disagree. They're just like, this new category isn't necessary. It's too theoretical. But I don't know. Take from it what you will. And lastly, probably no shade, the least helpful response to this paradox comes from Colin Radford, who just said, yeah, guys, it's a paradox, get over it. Emotions are irrational, but it's a universal phenomenon, so no shame. I mean, fair enough, props to him for not finding a solution if he didn't think it was necessary to. Sometimes you just gotta own the fact that you cry every time reading The Fault in Our Stars for no good reason. So respect to Colin, thank you for that. I guess we don't have time to unpack this now, but you could also query the statement that fictional characters don't exist. this might seem a bit wild, but like, I know fiction literally means imaginary, but in what way do these characters not exist? They have some form of existence, at least. They exist on paper, they exist in our minds, and idealists, like Berkeley, for example, would say that everything exists in our minds. So for him, I guess, there is no paradox at all. But that's all I have to say. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I will be back next week with another. Bye for now.